What's up, dude? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I guess it's been a minute since... I guess we've never actually talked, have we?
I don't think so. I think we've only emailed.
So do you live... You live down in L.A., I take it, right?
I live in Mount Washington, which is East L.A., yeah.
Okay, cool. How long have you been booking shows now?
How old am I? I'm 33. 20 years.
20 years, really? Since you were 13?
Yeah. Well, you know, not professionally, but yeah, I've always been the guy
right
in my band to book shows, always. And right. I probably started at 12. But I started touring at 15.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and I toured more than I didn't up through 21. And then I left the band I was in. I kind of shifted gears. I started a label. I got a big distribution deal, and I put out a bunch of records for all these bands that I really, really believed in. And it was right around the time like the whole industry was just sort of crashing and burning and hadn't figured out how to recover quite yet. So
right.
Little tiny labels like me that like really had no business doing what we were doing to begin with had no fucking idea how right. to respond to what was going on. So I quickly was just like, oh my God, this is punishing. This
right.
is, this is really like hard, like, and not rewarding. And you got to say no to everybody all the time.
Uh-huh.
Bands want to do this. And you're like, there's no money. This is really not a lot of fun. So I switched gears, again, and all through this time I was touring and playing, and I started putting on events in 2008, and the first outdoor events that we put on were named after the record label, Long Hair Illuminati. So like it was a Long Hair Illuminati Fest.
Right.
And we did that twice, and then I joined another band and I started touring some more, and I sort of took a break from putting stuff on. I just kind of focused on playing. And then in 2011 is when Moonblock Party started, and 2012 is when Desert Days started. And shortly after that is when I started Space Agency.
Right.
So like 2013, 2014. And I started with Cosmonauts, and it was my one and only act that I had on my roster.
Mm-hmm.
And then got a few more acts. And then LA Witch started booking LA Witch, and I feel like that's when we kind of turned a corner with it all.
Right.
That's when it really started taking up a lot of time and becoming like a really seriously demanding project and business.
Right.
And now it's grown since 2013 to have. There's two other people in the office with me. It's cool. It's crazy. It's hard to do both. It's hard to do the festival and the booking agency. But Wyatt and Joey, who work with me, are great, and it makes it possible. It's a team effort.
And you're at a point, I take it, where you know this is your primary income. It's not just a side hustle anymore, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, it is my job.
Yeah.
And, you know, both the agency and the festival, but it's still a struggle and it's still developing. And I'm in a band. I'm in Juju,
right.
And we're putting a record out in January, and we've done a fair amount of touring, and we're going to do quite a bit of touring next year to support the record.
Right.
So, you know, and my wife's a drummer, and so we just kind of do what we can, you know.
Right.
We don't really do a lot, you know. We live pretty modestly.
Okay.
We work. We're workers. Like
right.
you know what I mean? Like we don't really have a social life or like leisure time. We
right.
don't really do that. That's one of the big sacrifices that we've had to make. We noticed like a lot of our friends and their kids, they go on vacations, they do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we sort of do. I mean, we go on tour and we bring the baby and we're, you know, so, you know, we sort of fulfill that with that. But
yeah, I find that there's an interesting point where with booking and touring and playing, your professional life kind of doubles as your social life, and then when you do have free time, you actually want to lay low a bit, you know, as opposed to going back out and spending more time with people at bars and shows, you know what I'm saying, because you're already doing that. Do you notice that as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My whole life. You're on this, like, go mindset all the time, and you're not sleeping, and you're not eating well, right, and you're probably not taking care of yourself.
Right.
And you come home, and you just hibernate. And when I was younger, I had the luxury of off time was off time, you know, and I would really kind of just veg and regenerate and then and go back out. But now, you know, I'm working on the road, I'm working at home, and so my hibernation windows are much smaller now. You know, I do what I can to recharge
right
on the weekend and stuff. It's hard, but
I'm kind of like, I used to looking at your roster, obviously, from a booking perspective, and I guess I didn't realize that Desert Days was your baby. And you know, you've got great names on the Space Agency roster, but then when you put together something like this, I mean, this is like serious heavy hitters, you know, when you look at the meat of it. And how is it that you took the jump from being somebody that booked, you know, hip mid-level acts to, like, you know, working with Iggy Pop? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's kind of reversed, right? So, like, the festival came first, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started doing the booking agency officially.
Right.
It's hard to, like, look at it that way because I've always been booking shows, and all of this kind of feels like a natural extension of the other, so mm-hmm. it's hard to say, like, what's the chicken or the egg, but,
right.
like, I mean, I guess not. I mean, me playing in a band is whatever came first. I've noticed that.
There's got to be a point where you've put something together, and you look and you say, God, I can't believe I've even gotten this far. You're already in the midst of it. Like, it's just kind of, it must just kind of take shape almost in a way that you can't even view from the outside looking in. All of a sudden, you just have this massive undertaking that you've put together. Like, do you ever step back and say, damn, this is really something big?
You know, it's kind of like when you look at something every day
mm-hmm.
and changing slightly, you don't really notice it.
Right.
You know, you need to, like, not see your friend for, like, 6 months to notice that they maybe gained a little weight. I don't know.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, like, it's hard to notice where the festival's gained weight. But talking to people like you who are articulating it back at me,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, like, you know, I'm this festival lineup, for example, is basically, I mean, from my personal taste, like, as good as it could get, you know? I love Burger Boogaloo, for example, you know? Like, Burger Boogaloo is my favorite West Coast thing that I'm used to going to. And now that I get to go to Desert Days, I'm like, you know, because I love Joshua Tree anyway. I mean, this lineup is just loaded, and it's not just, you know, our rock and roll stuff. I mean, you've got Lee Fields. I love Lee Fields, you know what I mean? Like, it's a really nice mix of taste and from new to old. You got to be pretty proud of how far this has come along, yeah?
I'm really grateful that it's come together like it has the last 2 years. It's been a lot. It's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It really puts your body to the test, and your mind and your stress levels are super high.
Right.
And it's a good thing that it's so rewarding when it happens, to see it unfold and to see people have the best time ever. I mean, it's healing, you know, because what you put on is pretty damaging. So thankfully, we do something that attracts the kind of people that just I don't know, they're the right, they're in the right state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
They have the right intention. They're coming from the right place. They're there for the right reasons. And, we're just really happy that we were able to put together a lineup of stuff that we feel is important.
right?
And that they said yes, you know.
Right.
Come up with your dream lineup all day long, but you know the stars really have to align. They could be in Europe, they could be recording, they could be breaking up. You don't know.
Right.
So, you know, you really, to a certain extent, have very little control. So we're lucky. You know, we're lucky that Iggy Pop said yeah. We're lucky that Panda Bear and 80 Terror and Atlas Sound all said yeah to the same
right.
festival. Which me, like, you know, for me, I get a kick out of seeing little combos like that. You know,
right?
And like, it's like, oh, you know, Terry Riley and John Cale made a record together. Like,
yeah.
they could definitely be on the same day. You know,
right.
like that's kind of where we're coming from, and to be able to like play around with those different combos, and it's a heavy duty responsibility, and it's a lot of fun, and we're really really stoked and grateful to be able to do it. But yeah, it's a crazy thing, man.
You know, what's the most difficult part of putting together the festival, which I'm sure is a loaded question, but I mean, there seems to be so much that goes into something this size. Like, what's the part that when you're doing it each year, you're like, well, here we go. Here comes the uphill climb.
So right about now is when the throttle gets kind of kicked down and things start speeding up and you start to realize what you're behind on.
Right.
And you start to feel like, oh, here it comes. It's coming.
Right.
It's like right around the corner.
Right.
It's so funny. Like, it like happens in the blink of an eye where you go from, oh, yeah, yeah, we've got time. We've got time to figure that out. Or we'll figure that out,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
to everything needs to be figured out right now.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah,
you know, it's, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not like, it's the most insane undertaking. Like, I think, like, the only thing more insane is probably producing a film, probably,
uh-huh.
because there's probably a bit more, I don't know, it's hard to say which one has more moving parts, but, yeah.
One of the coolest things to me is the fact that it's in Joshua Tree, which is, like, I mean, one of my favorite parks in the country, and, I mean, what do you have to do, what's the angle on securing Joshua Tree? You know, what do you have to do is from a conservation standpoint, who do you work with in the parks department? Like, how does that all come about, securing the grounds for something like that?
Well, we're technically not inside the park, but
okay.
But Joshua Tree is a great community that has, you know, a lot of people that care about the environment and people that care about their community, and they're very protective, so we have to be mindful of where they're coming from,
right.
you know, and we have to treat them like they're part of the team, you know.
Right.
I don't think it's the right thing to do to try and go in and steamroll people, and I don't think it's going to get us anywhere either.
Right.
But so you know, we've just trying to do our best to be in touch with them and to hear them and to make adjustments where we can,
mm-hmm.
within the letter of the law that protects both their concerns and ours, but mostly we just want to gel with
right.
the community, and we realize that we're their guests to a certain extent, and what we can do can have a very positive impact on the community, and it can have a very negative impact on the community, and it's up to us to work with them to make sure that it's the positive one.
Right.
And we work with Zero Hero and Global Inheritance, who are two really cool organizations. Zero, they're slightly different, but very similar. They're both, you know, very green and after the same thing, a clean world. So Global Inheritance runs a recycling program
mm-hmm.
that sort of engages the audience into a recycling kind of, not contest, but you collect a certain amount of recycling and you can trade it in as dollars in the recycling store. You can buy merchandise and posters and cool stuff that's been donated by Global Inheritance's partners.
Right.
And last year, the audience helped us divert like thousands and thousands of pieces of recycling from the landfill. And on the trash side of things, we work with Zero Hero, who are a really cool organization, and they go around to festivals and they set up these trash collecting units that essentially they're like a pop-up sleeping tent, like
right.
a Coleman sleeping tent in a way. And they've got little holes in the front and little dividers and for recycling, compost and trash, and I think a few others actually. And yeah, it's cool. Like the trash, even if you miss the bin, it's like it's inside that little tent. It's inside the right divider. So it makes it really easy for our team to go through and collect and sort it. And so we work with those guys, and we work with a lot of local vendors and a lot of local artists,
right.
and we have some local staff. And there's a lot of local ticket buyers, you know?
Right.
So I think, you know, it's always been a desert event. You know, we were in Desert Hot Springs, and we were in Mecca, and now we're in Joshua Tree, and I think that it's been made possible by people that live in the area. You know, I think that you know, there's a lot of festivals in the desert, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of big ones, like the biggest ones.
Yep.
And there's also some really cool homegrown ones, and I think there's some there's been an array of random EDM festivals over the years that have come and gone because they haven't really I think they just had their different set of issues, you know?
Right.
And so I think a lot of people in the desert view Desert Days as their event, and they look at it with love and like attachment. They've been to it 4 or 5 times. It's the one they identify with. It's the one that has all live music, like, you know, there's no, it's kind of like an EDM safe place, you know? And not
right.
to call any specific genre out or anything. Like, there's a time and place for everything. And there's music for all different kinds of people, and it's not all for me, and I'm not trying to judge it. But
right.
it seems to be everywhere, right? And
yeah.
I'm not necessarily interested in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's other people like me. So Desert
yeah.
Days is kind of like a safe place for people like me that feel that way. With that said, I mean, Tom York's my favorite thing in the world.
Uh-huh.
Like live electronics, you
right,
know?
Right.
I mean, you know, Liars are one of my favorite bands ever. They're doing live electronics now.
Right.
And, you know, there's definitely exceptions to everything. But, like, this EDM culture of, like, you know, it's not something I identify with.
No,
know?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's funny you mentioned that the safe place thing for kind of the, I don't want to say underground rock and roll world, but something to that effect, because when I look at this lineup, there's nothing that would necessarily appeal to the High Sierra crowd or the, you know, the jam side of the Bonnaroo crowd, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is all curated to a point that really speaks to people who are into this particular type of rock and roll. And that, to me, is really neat, because I don't feel like there's a lot of... I don't want to use the word sleepover, for lack of a better word, but overnight festivals that appeal to our brand of musician, you know what I mean? It usually kind of warps into this kind of jam, hippie jive thing at a point. And
yep.
that's not on here, which to me is refreshing. That's what I want to avoid more than anything if I'm going to go to a festival. And that's nothing against those folks. It's just not what I want to be a part of.
Well, you know what? You know what I noticed? A few years back, I keep drawing parallels between the psych rock scene and
mm-hmm.
the heady scene, and also between the psych rock scene and the electronic music scene, like the Lightning in a Bottle world
mm-hmm.
and the Burning Man world. And the thing that I noticed was that in rock music festivals, there didn't seem to be a sense of community. And there wasn't really like a camping element that, I don't know. It just didn't seem like that was happening. And it
no.
seems like that's happening with festivals like Levitation and Desert Days and stuff like that. And another thing I'm finding is that rock music, or at least psych rock music, is a more mindful crowd, you know? It's a more caring and kind crowd, and I think that there's some comparison to draw between that and the both the heady beat scene and the Lightning in a Bottle, Burning Man scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great sense of community there,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I think we're finally starting to get there with rock music, because I think the fans of the music now are, and the musicians themselves are all, you know, I think it's a new breed of rock musician, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think like the 80s you know, and like late 70s version of like a rock star or like rock musician is pretty outdated,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, very.
And yeah, and I think like the way that people use guitar is probably pretty outdated in a lot of ways. So like that, you know, I don't know. I just, I think, yeah, I think there's maybe a new head on I don't know.
Do you have a hard time at all coming back to, you know, not working with the Iggy Pops and the, you know, the John Cales of the world when all of this is done, just from the perspective of, do you see yourself someday booking larger and larger acts for Space Agency, or do you enjoy the fact that when you come back to Space Agency after this is all said and done, you're more on the mid-level again?
Well, a couple things. I mean, I fully enjoy where we're at with Space Agency. I love facilitating the growth of artists that we really sincerely feel make the universe a better place.
Yes.
And that's like our company motto, but we really fucking believe it. I mean, mm-hmm. That is really what we're doing here, you know?
Yeah.
But Ed, I mean, the agency's growing. We just picked up Acid Mother's Temple, and, you know, they're probably the most well-known act we have at this point. And,
right.
More managers and people are coming to us these days, so I imagine the agency will grow, you know, but that ethos will never change, you know, and we're always, I think any good agency out there is always looking for, you know, the unheard, you know, and the next cool new thing. So nothing better than like a new favorite band.
Right.
It's almost better.
Yeah.
You know, than like new music that you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah. like it's like that music already existed inside you, you know, but like now you get to hear it, you're like, oh yeah, this is my favorite shit.
Right.
Like Metz was a kind of band like that for me. When I heard Metz, I was just like, all right. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Exciting,
yeah.
You know? So many things that I already love that I heard in Metz, but, like, I've never heard it like that.
Right.
And then, you know, to answer your first question with the festival, it never really stops, you know?
Right.
So, like, Iggy Pop and John Cale will play in October, but, like, that next week I'm going to be dealing with whoever's playing the next year, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, festival season is just...
Yeah, I suppose when you're doing something this big, I mean, you're basically working on it year-round, huh?
Yeah, totally.
Right. That's cool, man. I really appreciate what you're doing, and I'm stoked to hype it out here in Chico. I mean, I know we're, you know, 11 hours from Joshua Tree, but I know people that are going down for it, including myself, obviously. So,
awesome. Please come say hey.
Oh, I will, absolutely. And when the kind of world that we work in, you know, actually comes face to face or voice to voice, like, I really like that stuff because it's great communicating by email or text message, but it is nice when you actually, you know, can get to know somebody at least a little bit. And, you know, we're a small community, as you well know, so we gotta have each other's backs. So I'm just happy to help in any way, man. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. All right, well, please keep in touch. Let me know when you get down to Josh Tree, and let's please say hello.
All right. Sounds good, Phil. Talk to you later.
Okay, take care.
Bye.